This podcast was recorded on Thursday, May 31st at 11:23 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like Tiger Woods could be named the next Speaker of the Ohio House.
Nah, he can't win anything anymore. Let's talk politics. Welcome to Snollygoster, WOSU's political podcast. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown, doing my best to steer clear of Tiger and all the crowds at the Memorial Golf Tournament outside of Columbus this week. We'll focus instead in downtown Columbus on the State House and what seems like the never-ending search for a new House Speaker.
Later in the podcast, we'll hear why a union is endorsing Republican Mike DeWine for governor, even though he dodges questions about right-to-work legislation.
But first, the gift that keeps on giving, the hunt for the next Ohio House Speaker.
It continues to dominate the political headlines, even though not much has changed. The chamber is still led by acting Speaker Kirk Schuring, who took over for Cliff Rosenberger when he resigned amid an FBI probe.
The GOP House caucus has still only held one vote for the next House Speaker. Ryan Smith won the most votes there, but not enough to win the job. House leaders have so far declined to hold another vote, despite objections from some Republicans like Representative Craig Riedel.
I'm asking the small group of people who have yet to get behind Ryan and for the interim speaker to reconsider and get behind Ryan so that we can get back to work as a House of Representatives, because that's what we're here to do.
That comment from Riedel came on Tuesday. A day later, Acting Speaker Schuring gave lawmakers an ultimatum.
Yeah, Schuring said all House members, including Democrats, could either request another vote or they could change House rules so Schuring could hold the job through December and schedule House sessions like normal.
Here to help us sort all this out is Shane Stegmiller. He's been covering the speaker mess for Hannah News Service. Hi, Shane.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing great. Is there any indication which of those options that Schuring gave lawmakers might go with?
Well, he's labeled both of these options as option A, which is that they come in, they vote for a speaker, and they keep voting until a speaker is chosen. Or option B, which is this thing that they negotiated behind doors, which would allow Schuring to continue to serving as Speaker pro tem towards the end of the year and then choose a new speaker in the new session. That's called option B. It seems more likely option A. Ryan Smith has the votes. He's got 47 to 48 votes if everybody who voted for him before continues to stick behind him. He's got 47 Republicans, and Bernadette Kent, a Democrat from Columbus, has indicated she would vote for Smith as a speaker. So if you're just going by simple majorities, that would seem to be the option more likely
to be chosen. The easiest path to have a new speaker.
Right.
Does Schuring even want the job?
Schuring's running for the Senate, and so I don't think he necessarily wants to have the job. But I think out of sense of service, he would go ahead and serve out the rest of the year. The interesting thing is he's not angling to be speaker. He's not saying, I want you guys to choose me. I'll go ahead and be speaker the rest of the year. He's saying, make it so I can do the job as speaker under the current rules, but I'm still considered the Speaker pro tem.
We've been talking about who will hold the job through the end of this year. In January, there will be a new speaker again. This is where Larry Householder comes in. He's a major player in all this. He wants to be speaker for the two-year term starting next year. Ryan Smith has accused him of working with Schuring kind of behind closed doors to keep Smith out of the speaker seat, and then so Householder would not have to run against an incumbent. Mm-hmm. That's basically Smith's claim. What do you think? What's Larry Householder doing? What's the situation with him here?
Well, the thing with Larry Householder right now, he's definitely politically savvy. He's had the job before.
Pretty tough politician.
He's a pretty tough politician, and he was known for some of his tough tactics. There's definitely a lot of ink out there if you want to research. You know that he had a reputation of being pretty tough. He doesn't have the votes now. He's got 18 of the Republicans willing to vote for him now, and those are the ones that are holding out right now for Ryan, not wanting Ryan Smith to be put in the job. So he's playing the long game. He wants a temporary one put in till the end of the year, and then when he has this new group of legislators come in, which a lot of them are going to be more loyal to him because there was a big battle in the primaries over guy supported by Larry Householder and guy supported by Ryan Smith.
And Householder cleaned his clock. It was 10 out of 11, I think.
11 out of 12, actually.
11 out of 12.
And Householder has some votes of some guys who weren't really challenged by O'Rourke that are coming in as well. So, I mean, he's looking the long game. He's looking to make it to January. That way, when he gets a new...
And O'Rourke is the campaign of the GOP caucus.
It's the Ohio House Republican caucus campaign committee, yes.
And that's the old adage, follow the money.
Right.
How much of this is about the money that O'Rourke, the Republican caucus campaign fund, has? It's $4 million. And the next speaker will control that money, correct?
The next speaker will... Actually, the current... I mean, if they name a current speaker, that person will control
for
the money.
For this fall.
So they can step in.
That's a lot of money. That's what the stake is in this, really.
Right. And if Ryan Smith steps in, Ryan Smith will get a say on, probably a good say on how it comes in. And yesterday when Ryan Smith held his press conference out of the side of the House chambers, he said, you know, it's a big concern that we get a say in the money, because he claims that a lot of the money that's gone into O'Rourke has come from people who are supporting him. And he said we want to protect seats. Now, if you're Larry Householder, though, I mean, is O'Rourke going to spend money to help candidates supporting you? Or are they going to try and put that money elsewhere? So, I mean, it's definitely going to be a concern for him, too.
Money's always there. It's always there.
David Leland, a Democrat from Columbus, has said that this is all about O'Rourke. Another Democrat in the House, Democratic leader Fred Strayhorn, he says until they know more about the FBI investigation involving Cliff Rosenberger, they would support only a Democratic nominee for Speaker who would bring them all together. Tiger Woods has a better chance of being named the next House Speaker than a Democrat, right?
More than likely, yeah, because, I mean, the Democrats, they're at the lowest level of members in the Ohio House that they've ever had. I mean, historically, before Rosenberger resigned, they had 66 members of Republican and 33 who are Democrats. Plus, you have to hold all the Democrats together. So unless somehow they strike a deal with the Householder group, I don't see it as very likely.
What's the mood like down there? I mean, they were supposed to be done, but we're past Memorial Day. You know, maybe they had gone a week or so after Memorial Day, but these folks want to get out of town. They want to get on vacation. They want to start looking at their fall campaigns.
Right.
You have this divisive battle, hard feelings, accusations of strong-arm tactics. It has to be a pretty unhappy place right now.
They're very frustrated. I mean, you can... I think a lot of people were kind of not necessarily putting that out in public for the first week or two of this. But this week, you're starting to spill it out. You had the Representative Riedel's conference with a bunch of Smith supporters on Tuesday. Then you had Smith doing his conference yesterday. I mean, they definitely want to get to work. And Smith said yesterday, there's a lot of lawmakers who are already, they had their vacations already planned, and now they have to kind of scramble to try and come back and maybe try and do this next week, and it could even spill in the week after. They have some as-needed sessions the week after that they could push it back.
As this whole fight happens, the House has not had any regular sessions, right? What bills have been put on hold because of this whole fight?
Well, we did a count the other day. If you look at the House calendar, there's a thing called the black line. Everything that's below this line is all the bills that have come out of committee but have had not had full action by the full House. And counting things that have come out in committee in the last couple of weeks, and counting what was on the House calendar before they started canceling session, there's about 160 bills that are awaiting action. Now, I mean, a lot of those, not all of those would have come to the floor in a normal session if, you know, Rosenberger's still Speaker. But there's some major bills still there. I mean, we have House Bill 123, which is the payday lending reforms.
The one with cap interest rates, really cap interest rates at 28%.
It would put a hard cap on it, yes. And it's supported by the anti-payday lending people. The payday lender groups have been trying to negotiate something behind
The payday lending industry can't be all that upset by this gridlock because their bill's not getting, the bill that would hurt them is sort of on the shelf.
Ryan Smith has alleged that they're behind the delays here. I mean, I don't think he hasn't submitted any proof, but he said in a news conference that it's in their best interest to have this speaker fight go on.
And you could argue that it is helping them, because the longer it goes, the less likely it's going to, because it's still, it started in the House. It hasn't heard any Senate hearings. So it still has to go through that process. So they're running out of time. So there's a good chance it may not make it, even if they pass it next week. But the on the other hand, you have a group that's starting to circulate petitions to put something on the ballot. And if it gets on the ballot, Ohio voters have proven that they're going to vote for something like that they have in the past.
So what's the next step? Next week, Schering needs to hear something by Friday, and then next week the House gets back to session. Ideally, that's Schering's goal anyway.
Yeah, he's scheduled a session for Wednesday, June 6th. It starts at 1:30. Assuming that he continues to go forward with what his plan is, they will hold a vote on that day, either on his plan A or plan B.
Does he know that's D-Day?
I think so. And I mean, he's indicated.
June 6th really is D-Day.
Yeah. And he's indicated that he's just ready to move on. Yeah. Schering's been known as a guy who's tried to negotiate and bring both sides together. Rosenberger put him in that situation and on a lot of major issues, such as the payday lending, trying to see if unemployment compensation, trying to see if they can find something in the middle. And I think that's what he's been trying to do here all along. So, but I think he's just reached the point where it's time to move on.
And on a much lighter note, you will not be there because you scheduled your vacation thinking this would all be settled by now.
I did. I scheduled my vacation back in February, and by then, Cliff Rosenberger was still speaker. There was no indication that they would be going past Memorial Day. So.
Well, you might get a cover once you get back from vacation.
Well, still, they've already look forward to.
They've already told me that they want me to log in and watch it. So.
Oh, jeez. From the beach or wherever you're going to be. That'll be a fun time. I'm sure your wife will be thrilled by that.
Yeah, she'll definitely be thrilled.
Shane Stegmiller from Hanna News Service covering the fight over the next Ohio House Speaker. Thanks, Shane.
Thank you.
Ohio's labor unions always play a big role in the state's elections, perhaps not as large as a role they once did, but they remain a force.
Unions donate money to candidates, mainly Democrats, and they can mobilize their members to get out and vote. So in any campaign, Democrats try to mobilize their union support, and Republicans try to appeal to them on the edges, and Republicans certainly do not want to make unions angry.
Richard Cordray and his Democratic running mate Betty Sutton have spent the past couple weeks meeting with union members around the state.
Mike DeWine picked up some union support this week himself. The International Union of Operating Engineers Local 18 endorsed the Republican. But at that event, DeWine was asked if he supports so-called right-to-work legislation, which would eliminate mandatory union dues or fair share dues.
Not on our agenda at all.
Pretty sharp comment there by DeWine, not on our agenda at all.
Which is really a non-answer.
He didn't answer the question. He dodged the question.
Yeah, and that's not surprising. He can't say he opposes right-to-work legislation because that would anger his conservative business supporters who support that legislation. He can't say he supports right-to-work because that would surely mobilize union opposition to him. And we saw with the Senate Bill 5 lesson, you don't want to get on the wrong side of unions because they will come out in force to defeat you or defeat whatever issue you support. So he plays it right down the middle.
I wonder if he would sign any right-to-work legislation. Judging by the reaction to Senate Bill 5, you would think it would be almost political suicide to do so, especially for a first-term governor. I guess it didn't stop Governor Kasich, but that worked against him. But there was no real fallout from that for Kasich. I mean, he was elected another term.
Well, people credit Obama winning Ohio in 2012 on Senate Bill 5, that Democrats used the mobilization effort from the Senate Bill 5 fight to get their vote out in 2012. So you could argue that it helped reelect President Obama. But yeah, you're right. Kasich was reelected in a landslide. But you notice Kasich also used that line, "It's not on my agenda," and it never was back on his
agenda. He said that multiple times since. Not on our agenda, not on our agenda.
And other governors have said that. Scott Walker said it's not on our agenda, and he went after union dues of public employees. Michigan's governor said it's not on my agenda, Governor Snyder, and then he signed right-to-work legislation. I think right-to-work legislation will come back. How soon remains to be seen. Union influence is declining in the state. The number of union workers in the state has continued to decline. It'll be back, and my guess is Ohio eventually will be a right-to-work state. Just how long that'll be down the road, we don't know.
Has Rich Cordray weighed in on right-to-work? I assume he's against it.
Oh, yeah, he's certainly against right-to-work. That he would, no.
He would veto a bill if it was passed.
Yes.
Cordray also, he kind of did the same thing this week as far as dodging a question. When he was asked about his stance on Jobs Ohio, that's the quasi-private public agency that John Kasich created. Business people like Jobs Ohio, liberals hate it. So to keep both sides happy, Cordray says he'll keep it, but make it operate differently.
Yeah, this is the race to the middle. I mean, this is what happens after
primaries.
The conservative stances that candidates took in the primary, they're a little hardened in the primary. Now they soften those stances a little bit as they try to appeal to the independent and the moderate voters on each side in their party. So you'll see these answers when it comes to Medicaid expansion. Mike DeWine will be noncommittal on whether he would do away with it. And Richard Cordray will be, like he did with Jobs Ohio, will be noncommittal on business-friendly things that maybe liberals want to do away with.
We mentioned John Kasich several times. Now let's turn to our weekly segment, John Kasich GPS.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck. So,
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
I think I've eaten my way across the entire state of New York.
And looks like John Kasich stuck close to home this week. He did write an op-ed for USA Today in which he blasted Congress for not finding a permanent solution to DACA and the immigrants brought illegally into the country as children. Kasich called the issue a, quote, slam dunk issue because he says dreamers are Americans in every sense except the paperwork.
Also, on a lighter note, apparently the governor was watching basketball.
Yes, I'm going to use the B word. Yes, LeBron James, better than Michael Jordan, better blocker, better passer, maybe a better defender, and almost as good a shooter. Yep, LeBron, you're the best.
I would say this has been a major topic of conversation among my friends, all of us are Cavs fans. We think LeBron, we've come to a soft consensus that LeBron is now better than Michael Jordan.
He needs three more titles.
But do you think Jordan would have won six in this age of super teams?
I don't know. He's got six. He's got six. Scoreboard.
Anyway, the governor first posted that message on Twitter after LeBron led the Cavs back to the NBA Finals. They'll take on the Golden State Warriors fourth year in a row. Go Cavs.
Go Cavs. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. We ask you to spread the word. We just passed the 1,000 subscriber mark. Not bad for 2 months. We're not on the air. We're on the phone. What do you call it, podcast?
On the web.
On the line, on the World Wide Web. Anyway, 1,000 subscribers. We need more. We welcome your feedback, especially if it's positive. Give us a good review online or on iTunes is where you give your review. I'm Mike Thompson.
I'm Steve Brown, and this is Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.